2 weeks ago, I spoke about James Arthur Ray and his Death Lodge. Today, I'm going to speak about why and what kind of people would follow someone like him. Ray convinced 65 people at a cost of $9,500 plus travel expenses to put their lives at stake and participate in a workshop. 3 people died. Who, in their right mind, would do something so outlandish, you might ask? And who is James Arthur Ray? Is he a cult leader? Cults, like many other groups, attempt to use their influences for purposes of money and power, however masking that with the notion of spiritual growth. These types of leaders will attain control psychologically through their powerful ability to persuade and deceive the members. There is question whether Ray is exactly a cult leader, since the members at the workshop didn't regularly see him. However, the common denominator Ray has with cult movements is that he used coercive influence techniques and overbearing authoritarian control. So most people ask, what is wrong with these people who join that group? Actually, nothing. Most people, the majority, are normal, average people like you and me. Research shows that 2/3 are psychologically healthy and come from healthy families. The remaining 1/3 are more likely to be depressed, maybe you're in a failed relationship, have job difficulties, or other life difficulties. Groups like Ray's do not want problem people. In the end, it will cause more problems for them. It is the environment that easily dominates the personality-based difference among people. So put a group of people in a similar situation, one that is powerful and engaging, and those people will usually react to it in a uniformly similar way regardless of personality differences. There are certain situational factors which can make people more vulnerable to joining groups like these. For example, if one is lonely, depressed, or just feels at one's wit's end, this kind of group may feel like just the answer. Also, groups like these flourish during periods of political unrest, like the 60s. The Hare Krishnas, the Moonies, Rajneesh, and all the drug culture sexual revolution became answers for assurance. These groups enthusiastically provided answers. Some are great and some are destructive. The religious, or the groups with an emphasis on the direct experience of the divine, became very popular at this time. People were longing for a direct experience of God. Rajneesh followers believed he was a living embodiment of God. At the fall of his ashram, many of his devotees felt such betrayal, greater than that of a lover. Greater than anyone can imagine. Some are still grieving. Some still believe in him, even after the fiasco in Oregon. However, during the time of involvement with a group, participants find a level of social support and acceptance that can never be found in anything except a nuclear family. There is a sense of belonging to something profound and of being someone. It is a cultural island and gives an identity and a sense of meaning that otherwise was not given to them. And what happens when these groups fail? Some people who have good ego strength find they can go on with their lives even though they have suffered great betrayal. Some still flounder. Some seek years of psychotherapy. I have had patients who have been sexually abused by their, quote, spiritual teachers. Some never give up feeling the need to be taken care of by the seekers and find ways to live around the world, creating groups around them to avoid growing up. It's sad. I think it all depends on one's initial ego strength going into the situation and how long they stay. I think what's important for our children is self-mastery and interdependence, not independence. There's a difference. Interdependence is trusting in one's ability to take care of oneself and know we are not alone and we can always ask for help. We're not created to be alone. We are a species to be coupled. Any comments can be directed to drgibb@kvmr.org. From KVMR, I'm Dr. Josie Gibb, LMFT.